In terms of how people get started, right? Let's say, you know, we live in a digital world. We want to help out our patients. We want to kind of maybe share information about, you know, what the stages of cancer is, right? Like lung cancer is completely different from colon cancer or prostate cancer, but yet everybody thinks it's the same, right? They're different problems. So let's say that you had somebody interested in social media. What are some pearls that you recommend when you started with social media?
I think the three tips that I could give you in 60 seconds that would make the most difference probably took me a year to learn this, and it would hopefully take you only a month to kind of implement what I learned. It comes down to one thing only, really, is watch time. If you can get the average watch time on a 60-second video to be at least 20 seconds, right? So only a third of the video, not even the whole video. Usually that video will get thousands of views and then can snowball into millions of views if you get enough traction. I would say the three key things that I implemented that really started to shift the amount of viewership. One is having a really good hook, right? So I almost start my videos the same in whatever the concept is. I'll say something like, here's an interesting cancer fact, or here's an interesting medical fact about cancer. And that usually is a good enough hook. Or sometimes I'll say something like, medical things few people know, or medical things they don't tell you. And I'll say, hey, you can actually get lung cancer screening with a CT scan, because it's something we really don't discuss and a lot of people are not aware of that. So one, having an effective hook is huge, is absolutely huge. If you can get someone to stay on your video for that first 5 seconds, trust me, that is huge. The second thing is captions. So a lot of people nowadays don't hear the video. They'll be on the subway, or they forgot their headphones, or just subconsciously, it's easier to read something as you're hearing it. And again, having captions, especially in a medical video where I'm using words like paclitaxel, I'm using words like mammography. These are not common words, and you need to see the spelling so that it helps stick in your mind better. That's huge. The captions, again, allow the average view time of the video to go on for a while. So number one, hook. Number two, captions. And number three, post daily. Post consistently. Make it so that you're not burning out. In the beginning, it'll take you 2-3 hours to figure out one video. But by now, most of my videos are 70-80 seconds. It takes me maybe 5 minutes to shoot, another 2-3 minutes to edit, another 2-3 minutes to caption. So it's a 10-minute process, and I post it. And so once you actually get into the rhythm, it's not taking as much time as you think. But with a lot of these apps, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, they favor an account that's very active, that's posting daily. And even if it's not daily, if you're posting 4 to 6 times a week, you know, as long as you get into a weekly rhythm, I think it tends to do well.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, this is something I think about on my LinkedIn and Twitter is, you know, consistency. I think that's very important. And like you said, a hook. I mean, just going back to our analogy with newspapers, like with a newspaper, you got that headline.
Right.
And so with Instagram, TikTok, social media, it's like the first 3 or 4 seconds. Like, what's in it for me, right? What's the curiosity here? Well, how do you get that buy-in? And so I feel like you're very effective at doing that. Now, in terms of the equipment, you use your phone. Is there other equipment that you recommend, or anything that other people should know about, the oncologists in this podcast?
It's funny. So, you know, it depends on the platform. So TikTok almost favors low effort, because it needs to be more of an organic app. So the videos that I have that have millions of views on TikToks are usually just me getting out of my car, going to the gym. And it's that 30-second walk where I don't have a mic, I don't have flash, I don't have anything. And it's just so casual that it does well. Instagram is also like that. YouTube, I think you need to be a little bit more formal. YouTube, I think you need to have some flash, some lighting. The equipment that I have mostly that I use is a $40 flash from whatever retailer you want to pick it up from. And then a $200 mic. I've played around with a bunch of different mics, but I really like that crisp audio quality. It just feels a little bit more elevated. So those are the only two things I have, and then my iPhone. So it's not as hard as you think. Do you need the mic? Do you need the flash? No. Again, I have videos that get over 1 million views, and it's just my iPhone, me in the parking lot. I have natural daylight as the flash. I don't need flash. And then again, it's not too loud, so I just speak to the phone, and people can hear me, and that's it.
Yeah, I think more and more with social media, the way it's moving is, you know, we want that unvarnished, unpolished, authentic voice. I mean, we don't want this Hollywood production that looks like it's, you know, a fake or kind of like scripted. And I feel like you do a really good job because it's authentic. It's real. You're on your subway. You have something on your mind. Like, let's go ahead and talk about it. Like, And that's what people really like, the authenticity. So I think that's the other thing that you know, that you do really good job on. Now, in terms of like, you know, doing the videos, and I know some of the people like are kind of, you know, kind of concerned. I mean, imagine, Paul, even though you're very good at what you do, like, what was it like your first two videos to now? I mean, it takes a leap of faith to kind of, it's kind of like anything else. The more you do something, you get better and better at it. What was your first two like? So that way we have with some general oncologists in the audience that might be a little bit concerned on how they sound at the very beginning, but they stuck with it.
You will sound terrible, no matter, there's no way to put it, no matter what you do. You are new to something. Imagine presenting your first case as a medical student versus now as an attending, right? Your first case was, you were all over the place. You didn't have confidence. You didn't have rhythm. You didn't have logic. Those videos, it takes a while for you to find your voice, and it takes a while for you to find what works, but not only what works the way you want it to work. Because the interesting thing about content creation is truly, 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 if you stay consistent, you can go viral for anything. So it becomes a matter of, what do you want to become known for? So if I wanted to make videos that just focused on all the bad parts of oncology and all the toxicity and all the side effects, I could eventually become, you know, a lot of followers, a lot of people, they're like, oh, this is the cancer doctor that always talks about all the side effects. But if I want to talk about all the new technology in cancer, I could also go viral for that. So I think just as important as figuring out your rhythm and how to sound good, you need to figure out why you want to grow. It's being in a buffet. You can eat anything. You just have to figure out what it is that you want to eat. So that's definitely one thing to think about.
Yeah, I mean, the branding, right? I mean, on the one hand, like, let's say that if you want to be the person, the go-to that shares information, you do that consistently, you have a brand. I know watching some of the Super Bowl commercials, I'm watching and I'm starting to wonder, wow, that's very interesting. But then you start thinking, what are they marketing? What are they selling? What are they trying to teach? And so sometimes we fall into this trap of getting that viral content that's very popular. But what is the brand there? Is that really helping your brand, or is that just to get popularity? So that's being consistent with the messaging, maybe the audience, right? Like, if you think about it, like, you hit the nail on the head. Instagram, TikTok, younger audience, right? Then you have something like LinkedIn, right? Medical professionals, executives, people throughout the cancer world. Twitter, maybe physicians and oncologists. Facebook, maybe the parents and the grandparents. So it's like, each of these social media, they have their own niche. And so when you start thinking about that niche, right, when you start repurposing that, I mean, I don't know if you think about that, Paul, like, you do great content, but would your content fit in one niche platform versus another? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you hit it right on. So your demographic on LinkedIn is going to be a lot more professionals. Your demographic on TikTok will be probably people in their mid-20s to early 30s. Your content on Instagram might be people in their early 30s to early 40s. It just depends on, truthfully though, your content, no matter where you go, will have the right demographic. Because I can tell you, the average age on a colonoscopy video or a colon cancer video on TikTok might be in the 40s, even though the app is dominated by people that are in their 20s. So I think the real distinction here is more so LinkedIn versus everyone, because it seems like the audience on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, it is pretty general, but LinkedIn is, these are just really professionally focused people. So the videos that tend to do well there are more about the videos that talk about the technology of cancer, kind of the investment side of cancer. Like, if I were to look at what's new and for me to really get excited about what is the treatment or the modality, versus TikTok, people just want to know how to take care of themselves or how they can have more hope for the field of cancer in general.